Welcome to another edition of whatever we call this, Victory Christian Fellowship live streaming here on Facebook for another Sunday morning service. Yeah. Some of you that maybe haven't seen us for a while on Facebook, and you're wondering, well, you used to be in the sanctuary. Why aren't you in the sanctuary? Why are you back in your home? And, well, of course, the reason is that Becky tested positive for COVID back early in September, and she's doing very well with that, by the way. She is pretty much done with all of that. She had a virus, had a fever, had a cough for a couple of days. She's lost a sense of smell and taste, but hopefully that will begin to come back soon. And so for now, we're back in our home. She's doing well. She has passed her days of fever and all those kind of things, and probably is okay to be back out, no longer contagious and all those things. We'll check on that Monday. But because I've been with her the whole time, her last day of contagion, which is probably last Friday, is my first day, according to the protocols, of a 14-day quarantine. So even though now she's free to go, I have to stay quarantined for a couple of weeks because of the incubation period of the virus. So we'll see how all that works out, and try to get some more information on that moving forward. But for now, we are still in our home and coming to you, thankfully, still by Facebook live stream, and we're glad to see so many of you tuning in to be a part of our program here today. Continue to pray for Becky, if you would. To be honest with you, I'll just ask you to pray for me. Most of you know that for many years I have had reflux disease, hiatal hernia, heartburn. You know, I've had stomach ulcers, and all of these kinds of things have been the problem off and on at different times. And with all the stress, I guess, that's been ramped up over the last several weeks, I'm starting to deal with all those kinds of issues again, and trying to take medication for it, trying to see a doctor for it, all these kinds of things. So just ask for your prayers for me as I try to heal through all of this. A silver lining, I've lost 10 pounds because it's hard for me to eat, but God works all things together, doesn't he? So at any rate, pray for the two of us as we move forward through all of this, and hopefully in just another couple of weeks, everything's going to be back to normal for us, and we're going to all be back together in the sanctuary at Victory Christian Fellowship. Again, for today, we are online for our Bible study, and we're still in the letter of Philippians. I'll ask you to get a Bible and turn there with me to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to finish out this chapter. Will be our Bible study for today. Just one other announcement for us, for our family. This is, we have come to baby week, if I can say it that way. Dom and Steph, their first child is due to arrive the middle of this week. And so we're anxiously anticipating another grandchild, their first child. We're excited about that, and ask you to continue to pray for their family as well. In preparation for all of that, we've been praying some time ago about Don and his job opportunities and things like that. Don was given a promotion recently at work, and we praise God for that. And we're just watching the Lord provide for all of our family and all of our extended family. So we're excited about all of that, and we trust that you're doing well. I want you to please let us know how we can pray for you and minister to you moving forward. Again, we are here in the home here, and basically we feel pretty fine. We feel pretty much normal. And we just can't go out because of protocols. But we're still here to minister to you, to talk to you. If you want to give us a call or shoot us a text or a Facebook message or an email, let us know how we can pray for you. Please do that. And so that we can stay in contact with you. I'll be sending out some emails probably today and tomorrow. particularly on some of you that have been battling some issues. We want to catch up with you and find out what's going on. But from all of you, we want to know how we can minister to you, continue to minister to you as your pastors, even from our home during this time of quarantine. Please let us know. It's our great privilege to take your name to the Lord in prayer, to trust God to do good things in your life. So we're going to get started with our Bible study, and hopefully by now you've gotten your Bible and you've got your notebooks. Again, we encourage you to get a pen, write down in your Bible or in a notebook anything the Lord should speak to your heart as we're going through these scriptures, and let the Holy Spirit minister to you out of this time of Bible study together. All right? We are in the book of Philippians again, Philippians chapter 1. So before we dive into the scriptures, let's begin with a word of prayer together, all right? Father, we are grateful once again and as always for the word of the Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who we believe is here with us now to open the eyes of our understanding to spiritual truth. And Lord, my prayer today is that all of us would see, through all of the difficulties of life, that Jesus is still and always is enough. Help us, Father, to trust in our Lord through these things. We thank you for the victory that will result. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's trust the Lord to plant some seed into our heart and watch the harvest of God come to pass in our lives. We are in the book of Philippians. We're in chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 12 through 20 again. We talked about these verses last week. I want to read these again as just sort of our introduction to get back into the flow of the text. And then we'll finish out the first chapter of Philippians in our Bible study today. But let me read for you beginning in chapter 1, verse 12. Read verse through verse 20. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, and for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So, just to go back and touch on the background of the story here, the Apostle Paul is writing from imprisonment in Rome. He has come there under false accusations, but has appealed his case to Rome, and he is a prisoner in Rome there. And he's writing back to a church, writing back to the church at the city of Philippi, a church that he had actually founded 10 years prior to this time. He establishes the church in about 50 A.D. It's now about 60 A.D. Between that time, of course, he's done some traveling and preaching, gone back to Jerusalem, been arrested, been on trial, appealed to Caesar, and now he's in Rome. The brothers and sisters in Philippi have heard of his situation, and because of their care for him and their love for him, they've sent a representative to Rome to find out how he's doing, to be sure he's all right. And this letter, what we call the book of Philippians, is a letter, a personal letter from Paul to believers in the city of Philippi to thank them for their concern, to inform them of how he's doing, to thank them of their continued support. It's their financial support that's made it possible for him to have his own rented quarters and to be just under house arrest there in Rome, and then also to encourage them in their spiritual journey for Jesus. And in spite of the circumstances that Paul finds himself in, this letter is an upbeat letter. The theme of the letter is really joy. And Paul is upbeat. He's positive. The letter is cheerful. He's hopeful. His heart reflects the unspeakable joy of Christ because Paul has found Jesus to be enough. No matter what circumstances you go through, Paul says, Jesus is enough. In fact, he will say that later on in this letter, in the fourth chapter, in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's he saying? He's really saying, Jesus is enough. No matter what I go through, my Lord is enough to handle it. And so his heart is full of joy, even though he's in prison. And we talked about last week about the things that cause joy, even in difficult circumstances. Number one, he continues to have constant communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And so he knows the Lord's with him, and he communes with the Lord, and in that communion, he finds joy. He sets his mind on heavenly things and not earthly things, on eternal things and not temporal things. We'll see that in just a few moments as we get into the latter part of this first chapter of Philippians chapter 1. That Paul's mind is just, it's set on God. It's set on heavenly things. And he looks beyond the natural things of this world. And I think I shared maybe with you last week. We have that song that we used to sing many years ago, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And it's true that when we consider spiritual things and eternal things and godly things, and we set our face on these kinds of things, the things of the natural world sort of lose their insignificance and lose their importance when we place them in proper priority in our life. And Paul has learned to do that, and we'll see that in just a while. Also, Paul has learned to look for God in everything. To look for God. To trust that God is working in the midst of his circumstances. God promises. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. In Isaiah, he says, if you go through the fire, if you go through the flood, I'm going to be there with you no matter what you're going through in life. Jesus told the disciples, I'll be with you to the end of the age. And as he was teaching on the Holy Spirit, he said, the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. And so we have the constant companion of the Spirit of the Lord with us always. And God is always working in the situations of our life. The promises of Scripture is that God will work all things together. All things, not just good things, but even bad things. God will work in the midst of bad things to bring good things out of them, and to bring things that will bring glory and honor to his name. In Genesis chapter 50, we learn the lesson there that what the enemy meant for our evil, God is able to use it for our good. And so we must remember that the Lord is with us always. Just because you can't see God doesn't mean God's not there. And just because you can't see what God is doing in the moment doesn't mean God's not doing anything. Our God is always up to something, and it's always good. And we need to trust and remember that and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus through the difficulties of life. And no matter what you're going through today, let's make it practical for us today. No matter what you might be going through, here we are, we're bound in our home again, and it's difficult. I'll share something with you. That God uses to speak to my heart whenever I start getting to feel sorry for myself because I can't leave my house. whenever I start feeling sorry for myself, I think about God seems to always bring back to mind our good friend Daniel Cruz at the Dillon Correctional Center. And then I feel guilty for feeling bad about not being able to leave my house. But, you know, again, when we put things in proper perspective, we can learn a lot, and we can learn to trust in the Lord, and we can learn to see the hand of God, and we can learn to experience God's joy, even in present situations. Paul finds several things to rejoice in this passage of Scripture. Even though he's under arrest, even though he's a prisoner in Rome, he finds several things to continue to rejoice in. First of all, the Philippian people have shown that they're still thinking of him, and they're still praying for him. They've sent this representative to him. You know, it's always a good thing to know that when you're going through a hard time, that you're not alone. That it's not just God who's with you, but people are thinking about you, and people are praying for you. You know, it's good to have a church family, and it's what we need to have, a church community and a local church family that we have regular contact and communion with, and then people that we love and that we know love us, so that we know that no matter what we're going through, we're not going through it alone. God's with us. Our brothers and sisters are with us. They're praying for us, and that can encourage us in our spiritual journey. Paul can still have friends. He still has people come and go, and they can talk about the Lord together, and he can preach to people that want to come and hear what he has to say about Jesus, and he can write letters that you and I will eventually become books of the Bible that you and I will read 2,000 years later. He's still preaching to us today from that Roman prison. He's got a captive audience. He's got a guard. Generally, the way that it would work is that there would be four guards who would be with Paul around the clock, each one taking a six-hour shift, so that he's got constantly a guard there with him, you know, so that he can't go anywhere else, he can't escape. But that guard becomes a captive audience for the Apostle Paul, and he gets to preach to his friends, and the guards are listening. And as we read here, that throughout the Praetorian Guard there, verse 13 tells us, the reason for his captivity is becoming known. He's there because he believes in Jesus. And the name of Jesus is being spread through the members of the guard and even the household of Caesar because of Paul's ministry here. And we'll read about that later at the end of the letter as well. But Paul's ministry, listen, the devil can lock Paul up, but he can't chain the gospel up. And the gospel continues to be spread by the Apostle Paul in so many ways. And many other people have stepped up because of Paul's imprisonment, and they're preaching the gospel now. So Paul looks at all these good things. He looks for the good even in the worst of times and the worst of situations. And Paul is convinced. He has the great expectation that because of the prayers of the saints, because of what he calls the supply of the Spirit, because of the Holy Spirit that's within him, he knows that he's going to be able to stand firm and stand strong in this difficult season in his life, just as he has in the other difficult seasons that he's been through. And that no matter how this thing ends up, no matter what the conclusion is, or whether by life or by death, he's going to live his life in such a way that it glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes too, about how you and I need to see the suffering that we go through for Christ as just another opportunity to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we see here that he keeps his mind set on Jesus. And with that in mind, let's move forward through the rest of the chapter, or through the next section of the chapter. Let's read together verses 21 through 26 of Philippians chapter 1. His eyes are on Jesus. His mind is set on heavenly things. And this is a reason why he continues to have joy in spite of his circumstances. He says in verse 21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progression and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." Please notice what Paul says here in this passage of Scripture. First of all, verses 21 to 23, these are powerful words. Powerful words that illustrate his absolute confidence that there is a world beyond the world that he lives in now. That there is a spiritual realm and that there is an eternity that awaits him beyond his natural life. And because of that, again, the things of this life are insignificant in relation to the world and to the life that is to come to the great apostle. His mind is set on those things. It begs the question of you and I today. Do we really believe in heaven? Do we really believe in a world beyond this world? If we do, brother and sister, if we truly believe in heaven, if we truly believe in God, we have absolutely no reason to fear death at all. We can trust in our Lord that when that time comes, just as it will come for Paul, when it comes for us, we're going to go directly into the presence of the Lord. In fact, Paul is so convinced of heaven, Paul implies to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that he saw heaven, that he had seen it, at least in a vision. And heaven was so incredibly beautiful. It was so magnificent and so awesome. He said, it's beyond words. He said, I can't put into words what I saw in those visions. And the closest thing that he could use to describe, the best word he could use to describe the eternity that he peered into was paradise. Of course, you and I know Jesus used the very same words to describe the afterlife. When Jesus was being crucified, and one of the thieves on the cross said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And Paul knew that to be absent from the body meant to be present with the Lord. There's no purgatory. There's no intermediary place where you have to go to pay for your sins. All of your sins have already been paid for by Jesus, so that the moment you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, leave this world, you immediately go into the presence of God. Again, and I know I've shared this a lot in recent weeks, in various sermons, as we've talked about the need of salvation and spreading the gospel to the world in the present crisis that it's in. But I think it's important, and maybe we've got some new viewers here today, and maybe it's important that we all ask ourselves the question again, where are we going to spend eternity? Where are we going to spend eternity? Are we going to go to heaven? Are we going to spend eternity with Jesus, with the Lord? You know, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that every single human being, me, you, everybody watching, everybody in this world, everybody that's ever lived since Adam, we're all sinners. And the Bible says that our sins have separated us from God. Isaiah said there's a wall that's built between us and God because of our sins. Paul says, we'll say in Romans, that the wages of sin is death. Our sins have separated us from God. And if we die in that state of separation, we go into eternity, into a Christless eternity of eternal suffering. And then there's more bad news. The bad news is there's nothing you and I can do about that. Nothing in the world we can do about the fact that we're sinners destined for hell. No amount of good works can save us. No matter how much good you do, The good you do cannot save you, because the Bible says the only way sins can be atoned for, the only way sins can be paid for, is by pure and innocent blood. And you and I don't have that because we're sinful people. The good news is, and that's why the gospel, that's why the story of Jesus is called the gospel. The gospel means good news. The good news is what we can't do for ourselves, God came into this world to do for us. Coming into this world as the person of the Lord, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, came as the perfect person, lived the perfect life, lived a sinless life, then went to Calvary's cross and died on that cross, shedding his pure and innocent blood to wash away our sins. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your blood can't wash them away. Your good works can't wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. That's why only Jesus can save us, brother and sister. No other work, no other religion, no religious ritual can save you. Only the surrender of your life to Jesus. Only Jesus has salvation to give. Only Jesus has paid for your sins so that you can be forgiven. Only Jesus can forgive you. Only Jesus can save you. That's why it's so important that you call on the name of the Lord, because the Bible makes it clear that not everybody is saved. Jesus himself would say, those who believe the gospel will be saved, but those who don't believe it will be damned. And so it's important that we call on the name of the Lord and ask Jesus to save us, to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to save our souls. John tells us that all who receive him will become children of God. But we must call on his name. We must confess him. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believing in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, only then will we be saved. Only those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just encourage you today. I realize I'm on a rabbit trail again, but I encourage you today. I know that I have baptized people who have thought that they were saved because they got baptized. And that's not true. It's not true. It is the surrender of your life to Jesus, calling on him to forgive your sins and save your soul. That's what will get you salvation. That's what will get you into heaven. And I pray today, you're not trusting in a ritual to save you, but you're trusting your life to Jesus, and you're trusting him to save your soul. Well, let's press on into our Bible study here. Paul's mindset is on eternity. He looks into the heavenlies. He looks beyond his natural circumstances, and in that, he finds joy. I want you to see the selflessness of the Apostle Paul. The complete selflessness of the Apostle in verses 22 to 26 here. He says, to live is good, and I can share Christ as long as I'm here, but it will be even better if I could go home to be with Jesus. Death to Paul is better because he gets to go home to be with Jesus. And yet, in his heart of hearts, he knows and believes that God's not finished with him yet. And he's got more work to do here. And if God so wills for Paul to stay in this world and continue to preach the gospel, and even to see these people of Philippi again, and encourage them in their spiritual journeys again, and help them to grow in the Lord, and experience more and more of Jesus, and more of the joy of the Lord, that Paul is willing to stay in order to help these people to continue to grow in the joy of the Lord. And believing that that's what God wants for him, he says, you know, I'm convinced in verse 25, I know that I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Notice again, joy is still a theme here. If I go, that's great joy. If I stay, if I'm in prison, I can find joy. If I can come and share Jesus with you, that's going to bring us joy. I mean, everything in Paul's life, because it's centered in Jesus, it's going to find joy. Oh, brother, I hope you heard that. If your life is centered in Jesus, you'll find joy in life because Jesus is enough. Jesus is more than enough. Let's finish out this chapter together, verses 27 to 30. Verse 27, Paul writes and he says, now he begins to give them some instructions about how to live the Christian life. And he says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent from you, I will hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. First of all, he encourages them to live the Christian life, to live a life that is worthy of the Lord. In other words, listen, your life belongs to Jesus. Let him have control of it. Christianity is not about living your life however you choose, brother and sister. Your life, if you're a genuine Christian, doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. And he says, live a life that's worthy of the Lord, and a man that's worthy. Live a life of truth and righteousness. Live a life of honesty and integrity. Live a life of kindness and humility. Live a life, we talked about the word last week of being sincere. Live a life of sincerity for Christ. Being sincere means you're not a phony. You're not pretending to be one thing on the outside when you're really something else on the inside. Live a life of sincerity, of humility. Live a life that brings glory and honor to the Lord. This is true Christianity, brother and sister. True Christianity is not living for yourself. True Christianity is living for the glory of the Lord, living to see other souls brought into the kingdom. In the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, real Christianity is being salt and it's being light. Real Christianity is being an influence on people around you. Real Christianity is bringing truth to people around you so that they can walk in the truth, so that they can know the Lord, so that they can experience salvation for themselves. Christianity is letting your light shine. Letting your light shine so that you bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that it's obvious and evident that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll ask you a question. Does that describe you today? Is it obvious to other people around you by the way that you live your life that you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you love him with all of your heart, that you're living your life for him? Maybe a good thing to do would be to ask some of your friends, hey, is it obvious to you that I love Jesus? Maybe that'd be a good way to gain some perspective on our spiritual journey. But understand, he also tells us in this passage of Scripture, we must understand, when we live for Jesus, we can expect persecution. We can expect, that's what he means when he talks about suffering. It's been granted to you for Christ's sake, not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. You see, brother and sister, when you begin to follow Jesus, people begin to see that there's something different about your life. When you begin to walk in the joy of the Lord, people want that. People are going to want to know why you're different. They're going to want to hear about what makes you different. And you get the chance to tell people about Jesus. The devil doesn't want you telling people about Jesus. The devil doesn't want you winning souls and plundering his kingdom to win souls. into the kingdom of God. And so the devil will do everything in his power. He will come at you with every weapon that he's got in order to get you to stop living for Jesus. He'll tempt you with sin. He'll try you with persecution. He'll try everything, every weapon in his arsenal. He'll try to put your light out, brother and sister. So the people are not coming to know Jesus because of your life. And we'll suffer persecution if we really decide to live for Jesus. The Bible promises. Suffering is one of the promises of the Bible. Did you know that? It's not one you'll find in your little promise box, but it's a promise in the Bible. Jesus said that if you really believe in me, he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he also said, be of good courage, because I've overcome the world. What's he saying? He said, yeah, it's going to be hard. The devil's going to make it hard on you in this life if you choose to live for me. But hang in there, because you're going to have victory if you'll continue to live for me and to live for my glory. The Apostle Paul would write to Timothy and say, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So it's a promise to us, if we're going to live for Jesus, that we're going to be persecuted. But what we find out, if we're willing to stand in the face of persecution, that living for Jesus is still worth it. Because there's great promise from God if we will endure the persecution, and there's great blessings for others who will come to know Christ because of our persecution. And so there's great reward if we will endure persecution for the cause of Christ. If men and women see us suffering for the Lord, and they see us standing firm in the face of our suffering, they'll know that what we're living, the way that we're living, we're serious about it, and it's important to us. It's significant to us. If you turn and run when persecution comes against you, people are not going to take you seriously as a Christian. And they're not going to listen to the message that you've got. Remember the story last week? In the introduction, when we did the introduction to the Philippians, and we talked about Paul being in Philippi. Paul was in the city of Philippi in 50 A.D. It's now 60 A.D. when he's in Rome writing this letter to the Philippians. But in 50 A.D., he had been to the city. He had been arrested. He had been beaten. He had been tortured. He had been thrown into prison. And his response was to praise the Lord. And all of the other inmates in there, the Bible says that they all listened to Paul. Listen, his attitude, his standing firm for Jesus in the face of persecution got the attention of everybody else around him, and they were willing to give him a listen. And if you and I will stand firm in the face of persecution for Christ, people will give us a listen, because they'll know that our faith is a serious thing, and maybe it's something they should give consideration to. So we need to stand firm in the face of persecution and trust the Lord. Listen, if men and women in our world today are willing to go into the armed services and they're willing to give their life so that we can have natural freedom, if they're willing to lay down their life for us to have natural freedom, how much more should you and I, who believe in Jesus, be willing to lay our lives down in the sense of facing persecution, ridicule, mockery, laughing, being made fun of, even torture or death or whatever it might be? How much more should we be willing to do that so that people can experience eternal freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to be willing to stand firm in the face of persecution. This is a calling that we have as Christian. And listen, let me just say this to you today. If you're not willing to stand and face persecution for the cause of Christ, then you don't really understand the cause of Christ. Because the cause of Christ is lost souls. It's winning people to Jesus Christ. And if we stand in the face of persecution, people will take us seriously, and they'll give us a listen, and they'll give us an opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is nothing more important. Boy, I have to say this. Boy, I'm done here. There's nothing more important in your life in this world, apart from your own relationship with Christ, there is nothing more important than winning other souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing in this world is more important. Your material possessions are not more important. Your family relationships are not more important than winning lost souls. Your career, your race, nothing is more important than winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is priority one for the believer in this world toward the people of this world, praise God. And if we have to stand firm and face persecution to do it, Paul did it. They gave Paul a listen. Many people got saved as a result. The jailer, his household, many people got saved as a result of that. And the kingdom of God grew because Paul was willing to face persecution and to suffer for the cause of Christ. And the kingdom of God will grow if you and I will be willing to suffer persecution and endure affliction for the cause of Christ. And no doubt, not only did the kingdom grow, Paul's joy, no doubt, grew as he saw new people coming into the kingdom of God. And Paul was able to endure the suffering. He was willing to go through the persecution because Jesus is worthy of that from you and I, and because Jesus is enough for you and I. Amen. Amen. That brings us to the end of Philippians chapter 1 and our Bible study for today. Let's go to the Lord for some prayer, and I want to pray for my church family as we conclude our Bible study today. Let's pray. Father, we bless you again today, and thank you as always for the privilege of sharing your word and challenging your people to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ at all times and in every way. I thank you, Father, for the reminder today that Jesus is more than enough to help us to endure whatever we have to face in this lifetime, and that the eternity that awaits us makes whatever we go through in this lifetime pretty insignificant. For that we give you glory today, Father. Help us to keep our eyes on heaven, Father. Help us to look for the good and all that we're going through, even the bad times that we're facing. Help us to remember to always draw near to you, to have constant communion and contact and fellowship with you, because in your presence is fullness of joy. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement we receive from the Scriptures today to continue to be faithful, to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for my church family today, and there are others in our church family that are battling sicknesses and diseases, and I pray for healing for them today. Others are going through trying times, difficult times because of being quarantined and in an essential lockdown in their homes. And Lord, there's emotional strife as a result of that. And I pray, God, that we would all learn to turn to you in seasons such as this and just commune with you and rest in the Lord in this season. Now, thank you, Father, for giving us strength to endure what we're going through in this day. Some are facing financial distress. Lord, help us as brothers and sisters in the Lord to step up and be there for one another in such seasons, to be there to bless one another, to see each other through. And for our family and some friends that are going through surgeries that are coming up fairly shortly, Lord, we pray for them as they face these surgeries, and we ask you, Father, to first of all to be with them and calm their heart and give them peace, help them to trust in you and to look to you expect you to be with them through this season. We trust, God, you would guide the hands of the physicians and the doctors that will be doing the surgeries, and we believe and trust that the surgeries will all be completely successful, and you'll use these things, Father, to bring healing to our brothers and sisters, to those of our church family, and those of our Christian family beyond the walls of Victory Christian Fellowship. Thank you, Father, again for this day. Thank you for this time in the Word. Thank you for hearing our prayers today. We believe that there's a great shift taking place in the spiritual realm as a result of the Word and the Spirit working mightily in our heart and in our life today. And we give you thanks for the victory that will result, that will bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you again for tuning in to another service via the internet. Again, hopefully in another week or two, we're going to get all this behind us, and we're going to be back in-house again on Leesville Road at Victory Christian Fellowship. But until that time, again, we appreciate your support for the ministry at the church here. Again, please let us know how we can pray for you, and we're going to be emailing you or texting you in the coming week to touch base with you again. Let us know how we can minister to you personally. And again, thank you for all of you that have reached out to us to help us during this time. God's doing good things. Keep your eyes open. Watch to see. God's working all things together. What the enemy means for evil, God's using it for good. Thanks again for tuning in today. God bless you. We pray you have a great week. Bye-bye.